Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence this morning, thankful and grateful again for the access that we have to thee in prayer. We praise thee, Lord, today for our Savior. We thank the Lord for the one who loved us and on the cross of Calvary died to bring us to God, to redeem us, to forgive us of our sin. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to worship thee this morning, as we come to sing thy praise, Lord, as we would gather ourselves around the Word of God for a time, come and speak to all of our hearts today, we pray. Do our hearts good. We pray, Lord, you'll bless us now in our praise and in our worship. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to commence this morning by singing together the words of Fanny Crosby's great hymn, Praise Him, Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. We'll keep our seats as we sing this hymn. It's hymn number 5, if you have a copy of our own church hymn book with you. Morning, can I ask for those who can to stand, please, for a moment's silence as we remember and as we reflect on the life of the Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. And in our moments of silence, we want to remember Her Majesty the Queen in this time of great personal loss for her and grief as well in our nation. Can I ask you, therefore, if you can, please stand with me for a moment of silence and then for prayer. our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee this morning, the One who is the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. And this morning we ask, O God, that in a very particular and in a very real way today, that You'll come to Her Majesty the Queen at this time of great loss of her husband. We pray, Lord, that she'll know the strengthening and sustaining hand of God upon her. Lord, we thank Thee for the years of service that both she and Prince Philip have given to our nation. And, O God, we pray that now in this her hour of need, may she know and, Lord, experience the God who is the God of all comfort. Lord, we pray that You'll draw very near to all the royal household at this time. We ask, O God, that You'll remember those who have lost a father. Remember, Lord, those who have lost a grandfather. Remember, Lord, those who have lost a great-grandfather. And it is our prayer, Lord, that in the midst of all the grief and sorrow in our land and in our nation, but, Lord, especially in the royal household at this time, that many will find and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, we pray for our nation. We ask, O God, that this nation of ours, which has turned, Lord, so far from God, Lord, we pray that each one will be reminded that while we may live for a long time or for a short time, yet in the countless ages of eternity, our time here is only but for a little time. Lord, we pray, therefore, that You would be pleased to turn many to Thyself. Lord, that in this hour of grief and sorrow across our nation and indeed across the Commonwealth at this time, we ask, O God, that many will turn to the God of heaven. Many will cry unto Thee for repentance and for salvation. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll come and, Lord, turn our nation back to God. We realize, O Lord, that in the midst of life we are in death. And Heavenly Father, we pray that many, many, Lord, even on the passing of Prince Philip, might prepare to meet their God. Lord, we thank Thee for Your goodness and Your mercy that finds us here today. We thank Thee, Lord, for the hand of God that has been extended to us. And Lord, we pray that You'll help us as we come to worship Thee. Help us, Lord, to praise Thee. Help us, Lord, today to exalt Thy great name. And Lord, that through our worship this morning, that Thy name would be exalted on high. Bless us, we pray. Keep Your hand upon us. We thank the Lord for each one who has gathered with us in the house of God this morning. We thank the Lord as well for those who are watching online. And Lord, we pray that this day will be a very blessed day, Lord, when many will call upon Thee for salvation. Lord, as well, then, when the people of God, Lord, that we'll be encouraged and taken on in our walk and our fellowship with Thee. We pray, Lord, for our land and for our nation. We pray, Lord, for those who are faithfully preaching the Word of God. Lord, we pray that many signs will follow the preaching of Thy glorious gospel today. Remember those who cannot gather with us this morning. We pray, Lord, You'll watch over those who are unwell. We pray, Lord, today for those who are in hospital. Remember Stephen at this time. Touch him, and Lord, restore him to that full strength once again, we pray. Lord, that very soon he'll be able to be back with us. Lord, we pray for those who are unwell in their own homes. Lord, those who are shut in, those in nursing care. We pray, Lord, You'll draw alongside to each and to all. And may they know the strengthening and the sustaining hand upon them at this time. Do our hearts good, we pray. Lift our eyes to see Thee today. And Lord, we pray that we'll have cause to rejoice in what the Lord is doing. We thank Thee already for the word gone forth to the children in the Sunday school, to the young people in the Bible class. We thank Thee, Lord, for this opportunity once again to open the doors of our Sunday schools and our Bible class for the teaching and, Lord, the building up of the children, the young people, in the things of God. Bless them. Bless in Hollywood this afternoon. And Heavenly Father, we just pray that this will be a good day, a day, Lord, when young and old will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do our hearts good. Continue on with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning for our scripture reading to the little epistle of 1 John. 1 John and the chapter 4. 1 John and the chapter 4. First John chapter 4, we'll take time to read the first six verses of this chapter together. First John chapter 4. And John the apostle, who of course is now an aged man, is writing to the children in the faith and exhorting them and warning them about many things, but most especially about trying those spirits, whether they be of God or not. Let's read together 1 John chapter 4 and the verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And before we go any further, there is one word of exhortation that we all need to take on board. Believe not every spirit. We can be so easily blown about by every wind of doctrine, every new fancy notion. But here the apostle tells us, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye should have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We'll end there at verse number 6, and may the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let me at this stage bid you all welcome in the Savior's name to God's house this morning. We welcome you all, those who are in the main sanctuary, those who are in the back rooms as well. We appreciate all, and again, good to see so many in God's house this morning. Also, we welcome those who are watching online through the various broadcasts. We welcome you as well. Pray the Lord will bless us all as we meet around his word. Can I just go through a number of announcements? Bear with me, please. There are quite a number of these this morning, so I'll try to get through them as quickly as possible. Today, the second Lord's Day of the month, is our Missionary Council retiring offering. And so the box is there at the door as you leave on the hallway, and all the money there will go towards the work of the Missionary Council. Can I thank those who brought in their boxes, missionary boxes, over the past number of weeks. Total amount raised through those boxes was £864.63, and that is a tremendous amount of money. I want to thank you sincerely for your kindness in giving to the missionary cause. We have our Hollywood Sunday School reopening again this afternoon at 2:30. Please do remember that in prayer and keep that much in prayer, please. It's good to have the children back this morning here in Sandown, the young people in Bible class as well, and do continue to pray for our young people and our children at this time. But the Hollywood Sunday School will recommence this afternoon at 2:30. Then we have our family and friends night service tonight at 6:30. We invite you back, and we encourage you to come back again this evening for the gospel service. Our brother John Porter will be along to sing and also to testify. This is John's first time here in person. He has helped us out in the broadcast last year with sending various items and song, but he's coming tonight to sing and also to testify, and I know you will enjoy his ministry tonight. So come along at 6:30. This incoming week, God willing, there will be an online mission connected with our Bangor congregation. That will be on the Bangor Facebook page every night this week, Monday through to Friday at 7 p.m. And so please do remember that, tune in, and pray for that gospel effort. Then on Thursday night, we meet back here in the church again for our Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. It's been encouraging to see many gathered out on Thursday evenings, but there's room for you. And so we encourage you, please come with, join with us on Thursday evening for our time of study around the Word of God and time of prayer. Now, last Thursday, we had a deputation on behalf of the LTBS, Let the Bible Speak. That offering on that occasion came to £486. And we want to thank you for that offering. And if you want to give to that offering, you weren't out on Thursday night, and you want to support the work of LTBS, then do please see William or Richard about that, please. There are still some of these little deputation updates. Some should be on your seats there to give you an update as to the work of LTBS. Just while I'm on that matter, there is a little leaflet again on your seats there about the Nepal Radio appeal, and that is to raise a total amount of £30,000 in order for a new radio station in Nepal. The work in Nepal basically has commenced through the work of the radio ministry and LTBS, and there is now this plan to set up a new radio station. Outlay cost will be £30,000, and so there is this appeal going out across all of our churches to raise that amount of money. So if you would like to help in any way, in any small way, then the details are there as to how you can give. And if you want any more details, then please do speak to us and we can let you know. Then we have our Friday night youth fellowship back again in the church. First time we're able to meet back in the church on Friday night. So young people, please remember that and plan to be with us this Friday evening for our first youth fellowship back here at 8 o'clock. Then the services at the usual times, next Lord's Day, 10:15, Sunday School Bible class, 11:30, morning worship, Sunday School in Hollywood at 2:30, and then our gospel service at 6:30. I will be here to preach in the will of the Lord at all those services, and our brother Peter Mander will be here to sing in the evening time. Now on your seats as well, you'll have received a copy of the set of accounts that has been approved by our church committee for the year ended 30th December 2020, and that gives a detailed account of the income and the expenditure. I won't go through all of that, but if you do have any questions about that, any matters you want clarified, then by all means speak to any member of committee, or especially speak to our church treasurer, our brother Kyle Hamilton, and he will only be too happy to help you in any way. But it is a very encouraging set of accounts that we're able to present to you, and on the behalf of our committee, we want to thank you sincerely for your continued practical support of the work of God here in Sandown. Do continue to remember those who are unwell. Remember our brother Stephen Freel, who has been in hospital this past week after a fall. He's had his operation, and we pray now for a full recovery for our brother Stephen, and that very soon he'll be able to be back out with us again. Do continue to remember Harry and Martin in your prayers. Remember Gemma. Remember as well Brother Jim Crean, who has his operation tomorrow down in Dublin. Do remember him, please. Remember Valerie Johnson. It's Philip Bowles' mother-in-law. She will also face surgery in the next few days or weeks. Also, we want to thank you for your prayers for little Samuel Barr. He has been over this week in Great Ormond Street, had his operation, has returned home again. However, he'll have to go back on this midweek again for a further operation, and God willing, back home again at the end of the week. So do remember little Samuel and David and Judith in your prayers, and of course Maureen and Adrian as well at this time, and they appreciate all your prayers for them. I sent out an email yesterday to everyone concerning a bill that is coming up for debate at the Assembly this coming Tuesday in relation to conversion therapy. And I won't go through the details of it. The details are in that email. If you haven't got a copy of that email, there are copies, paper copies in the hallway for you to take, because we're asking you to write to your local MLA and to voice your opposition to this conversion therapy, which, when you water it all down, is basically a ban on preaching the gospel. Whatever way you want to look at it and whatever way you want to term it, that is what is being planned. And so we want to voice our opposition to this. Now, that debate was to take place this Tuesday, But because of the death of Prince Philip, that has been put back until next week. So that gives you opportunity to contact your MLAs, voice your opposition, and the paper is there in the hallway if you haven't got the email as to how you can contact your MLAs and what to say. If you need any help, please do let us know. But I encourage you, please, make your opposition known about this, please. One further thing can I bring to your attention, and that is in relation to some of our missionaries, our brother Andy and Hannah Foster, who are missionaries to Uganda. Now, due to Brexit and the fact that Mrs. Foster is not a UK citizen, she has had to apply what is called settled status. That means that for the next 5 years, Andy and Hannah will have to stay 6 months here in the UK and 6 months in Uganda. Now, in the providence of God, they have already completed almost 6 months here in the UK, so they are making their plans to return once international travel opens up again. They are making their plans to return to Uganda very shortly, hopefully within the next month. That means that they will have to spend half their time, half the year here and half the year in Uganda. But there is still a lot of work that they can do here while they are at home. Their language training continues, and they do remain fully committed to the work in Uganda. They have done a tremendous work, and when they were here with us, you will have seen the work they did. And they have done a tremendous work, and they are to be commended for that. So pray that the Lord will bless, will undertake for this. The mission board will continue to provide their full salary and will also provide them with accommodation and with a vehicle while they are at home here in the UK. So remember the Fosters in your prayers. Pray for them. Pray the Lord will help them, be with them, and remember the work in Uganda, and especially our sister, Miss Noreen McAfee, as she is there at the moment by herself, and pray that the Lord will help her and that very soon the Fosters will be able to go back to the work there in Uganda. These are all the announcements, and as always, they are made subject to the will of the Lord. We're asking you, please, to turn back with us again in the Word of God this morning to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. It is warm in here, so maybe we could open that back door. Dines, thank you very much. A little bit more air in. Thank you. First John chapter 4. And I want to speak this morning on the subject of wokeness and the gospel. Now, that might be a term you'd not have heard of, but as we go through our message this morning, what goes under that term you certainly will have heard of. And we want to see what the Bible has to say about this morning. But before we come to the Word of God, can I ask you please to stand with us for a word of prayer, just to change your positions, and then we'll come to the preaching of God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for Thy goodness and for Thy mercy. And Lord, we look to Thee today for the help of God. Remember, Lord, all those who need our prayers. We pray, Lord, today again for the Fosters. We pray for Andy and Hannah. Lord, be with them. Very soon they'll be able to go back to Uganda. Encourage them, O God, we pray. We ask, O God, as well, that You'll be pleased, Lord, to intervene in these plans that are coming before our assembly and also before Parliament. O God, we pray that You'll step in and, Lord, stop the plans of evil and wicked men. And Heavenly Father, we pray that the gospel will run and have free course in our land, we pray. Bless us now around the Word of God. Encourage our hearts and do us good in the Savior's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Throughout the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, there have been numerous and many attacks and challenges that it has had to face. Now, these attacks have always come in various forms and various different guises. In the age of the apostles, there was an attack that came their way, which was called Gnosticism. And that basically was a group of people who believed they had special revelation, new revelation that only a certain few people had. Now, essentially, it was nothing more than dangerous philosophy and mystical notions about religion. Now, it died out in the early church period, But many would argue, and I can't really say much against it, because it has come, I believe, to force, certainly in the 60s and the 70s and the New Age movement and the hippie agenda of recent decades. Then as we come through church history, and particularly in the times of the Reformation, the attack became more clear. When the attack was on the central and the pivotal doctrine of justification, as Rome sought to attack the teaching and the truths of God as to how any man or woman can be just before God. Then when we come into more recent and more modern times, we have the proliferation and the multiplication of many of the false cults, many of the false forms of religion in our world. Hinduism, Buddhism, Spiritism, the Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, and so the list goes on. However, this morning, I believe that a new religion has come about in recent times. A religion that has fronted itself for social justice and equality for all. A religion that has supposedly sought to undo the injustices in society. Now, it has various strands, it has various names, but it all goes under this term of woke. Now, you might be asking yourself, what does that mean? I mentioned it briefly in a message some months ago in our Bible study. But this term woke refers to people who are supposedly awake and enlightened to social injustices and social prejudices and inequalities in society that the rest of us are supposedly sleeping to. You'll have heard of the term, I'm sure, the cancel culture movement. The Black Lives Matter movement, the LGBT plus movement, the various abortion lobbies, they all come under this umbrella of a woke movement that they claim that they are awake to these matters and we are all sleeping to them. While on the surface, it may seem that these people are trying to create a supposed better society, a more equal society as they claim. Yet the reality is that their roots go much deeper, and I believe that this whole woke movement is another religion, a false cult that is invading our society and our province, especially at this time. And here is the problem. Because sadly for many in the church, they have jumped on this bandwagon of social justice and apparently wanting to be hip and trendy and with it and woke. And so they've gone with the popular secular ideology and have abandoned the gospel of Christ. But what's even more concerning is that there are those who are trying to combine secular thinking with the Bible teaching. And what did they come up with? They come up with a hybrid gospel, which, as Paul, when he wrote to the church of Galatia, said, is another gospel. It is not the gospel of Christ. This new religion, and I do describe it as a religion, it is not the gospel of the Bible. And so this morning, because of its prevalence right now in society and in the minds, and particularly, folks, in the media. And if you want to see what is woke today, you just have to turn on the BBC. In fact, I would urge you, don't turn on the BBC. Don't turn on any form of media. But if you listen to the news, then you can see this whole agenda being rammed in your face constantly and daily all the time. But what I want to do today is show and seek by the help of God to expose this movement for what I believe it is, because I believe this whole movement, the various forms, the Black Lives Matter, the LGBT, the abortion, so on and so forth, it poses one of the biggest and most powerful threats today to the Church of Jesus Christ. John, as we read, said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." And that's what we want to do. We want to try the spirits today, closely examine this movement in light of Scripture. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the claims that are made. Now, we could be here for days and probably weeks to talk about the claims that this movement for social justice and removing social inequality, we could be here for days dealing with and detailing the claims that they make. But I want us to summarize it as best we can and as succinctly we can. First of all, wokeness and this whole movement, as it appears, and movements such as the Black Lives Matter, LGBT claims, etc., they claim that this world is divided along lines of either class or color or background or gender, and so the list goes on. You see, it starts with the starting point that society is divided, that humanity is divided along different forms. Now, as I was studying this through the week, my mind was taken back to when I was studying politics for A-level, and that's not the day or yesterday. But part of that study involved the study and the theology, or the ideology, rather, of Karl Marx. His communism and his socialist agenda, righting the wrongs, as he put it. And you know, the more I thought about it, the more I believe that this whole movement is nothing but Marxism reincarnated. Socialism and communism trying to fight against what they call the evils of the day. I say that particularly for one reason, because the Black Lives Matter, the woke movement, they've come up with this grand idea and this grand terminology, and they've come up with what is called the critical race theory. And you know, whenever you read about them and you read what they come up with and their different ideas, that it would make you think they're very intelligent, intellectual people. And they've come up with this critical race theory. It's nothing but Karl Marx's manifesto brought back to fashion again. But basically they're saying that what happens in this world happens from a basis of division. And because of this division, some people are more privileged than others. So the basic starting point of this whole new cult is a basis of division in humanity. It's starting with this premise that humanity, all mankind, is divided along whatever lines you wish to describe. But you see, here is where they go against the entire teaching of Scripture. Because when I take my Bible, when I read my Bible does not tell me that all humanity is divided along classes or colors or confessions. My Bible tells me that all humanity is united. We are united because we are all made in the image of God. And we don't have to go too far into Scripture to see that. The very opening book of Genesis, and can I encourage, and especially our young people, the book of Genesis is your bedrock, your foundation, and never deviate from the book of Genesis. Remember those words right at the commencement of the Bible, "In the beginning, God." And if you never remember anything else, remember that, "In the beginning, God." But you see, what all this is about is removing God. The Bible tells me in Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image," and the reference there is to all mankind. "And in the image of God created he them, male and female created he them." So all humanity is created in the image of God. Humanity is not divided. We are all God's creatures. Therefore, when I view this world from a biblical standpoint, I see an entirely different view of humanity than this new religion of wokeness and social justice. Because I see a humanity that is united, not divided. Now, flowing on from that, all these apparent social injustices will say that people are more valuable than somebody else, and certain people have no value. And you know who they tell us have the least value and have no value? That little child in the womb of the mother. This movement tells us that that little child has no value, has no standing, is of no significance. And yet the Bible says that from the moment of conception, we are a created being, not the moment of birth. That little one during the 9 months of the mother's pregnancy is just as real a human being as you and I are. Created in the image of God, just as you and I are. So this whole woke movement claims to be more enlightened and more educated and more inspired to overcome the supposed injustices of this world. But what they're doing is they're setting aside the fundamental teaching of Scripture when God says we're all created in His image. We're all of value to God. We're all important to God. Let me move on quickly then to another claim that they make. They claim that your identity, my identity, is determined by my skin color. That you or I are identified by the color of our skin. And particularly we've seen this in the whole riots of last year in America and then over here. And they claim that all white people are supremacists and oppressors, and those of other skin colors are the oppressed and the underprivileged. Therefore, they claim that my identity is based on my skin color. And let's take that to Scripture again. Because it doesn't stand the test of Scripture either. When I take my Bible, I see that my identity is not determined by the color of my skin, but rather determined by the state of my soul. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he brought out those two identities by which all people are identified. Romans 5 and the verse 12, he says, "Wherefore, as by one man," and I want you to notice the term, "wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So our identity by nature is we're an Adam. We're sinners. But then he goes on in the next few verses to say, "But much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace and by one man, Jesus Christ, grace hath abounded unto many." So what's the teaching of Scripture? Your skin color does not determine your identity. It's the state of your soul, whether you are an Adam by sin or in Christ by grace and salvation. The whole woke movement, and especially the Black Lives Matter movement, is that all those who are doing the oppressing are sinners and they need to be dealt with. But the Bible says that we're all born in sin. Our identity is either in Adam in sin by nature or in Christ. That's how we are identified today. It's not by your skin color. It's not by your class. It's not by your background. It's whether you are in Adam by sin or in Christ by grace. There's much more I could say, but time is going, so I better keep moving. Another claim that they make, and this is another grand term that they come up with. So we had the critical race theory, that there's everybody's divided by a critical race. The Bible does not substantiate that at all. But then they come up with this other theory. It's called the intersectional theory. And it's just really a development of the critical race theory. And it's saying that all of this world are intersected along different lines. And then what they say as a result of that, there's just total chaos. And there's absolute confusion. And they go a little further and say that in this world there's total chaos. There's no control. Every man is doing what he wants to do. Now, folks, what's that? You might have heard the term chaos in the cosmos. What's that? That is Darwinianism, evolutionary thinking and teaching that denies a creator God, that denies a God who created this world, but as well denies that there's a God who controls this world. See, that's what's behind all of these liberal, modern movements. It's a theory that denies the God of creation. A theory that denies that this world was created by God and that this world is controlled by God. Now, I've dealt with the matter of evolution in the past, but there are those in the church who will say that God created this world, but then that man took over. That's not the creation of the Bible. God created this world and man didn't take over because God's still in control of this world. God is still sovereign this morning. God is still on his throne. And so this theory, this intersectional theory that again says that this world is in chaos and all confusion, is saying that there's no God. There's no controller. But my Bible tells me in Colossians 1 that by him all things consist. Then another claim, especially we see this in the Sodomite movement, the LGBT movements. And they're seeking to undermine the very foundation of society, which is the foundation of marriage between one woman and one man, the whole family unit. And the bringing up of the family in that family unit. What they're trying to do is disrupt the whole structure of marriage, the whole institution of marriage. The Bible says that for this cause shall a man leave his mother. Man shall leave his mother and father and shall cleave to his wife. One man, one woman. That's the institution of marriage. And this whole movement seeks to undermine and to destroy what is a biblical and a scriptural order. Furthermore, they will claim that it is oppressive, and in fact, they would say sinful, for an individual to remain as a male or female if they wish to change their gender. Or more recently, if they wish to have no gender. What's that? That's another attack on the biblical order of creation. God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. That's how God made us. That's how God intended us to be. And most especially, there is no biblical, and I would say as well, no scientific basis for those who term themselves as non-binary. It's an impossibility, folks. And yet this is what is being propounded and brought into our schools today as well. And what I'm trying to do is to show that all of these claims, they might sound as rebellious, yes, but ultimately, they are all going against the Scriptures. They are all seeking to deny God. They are all seeking to deny the biblical order of creation. That's their plan. That's their intention. It's not about social order. It's not about undoing social injustice. It is about denying the God of the Bible. That's the claims that are made. Very quickly, let's move to look at the challenges that are presented. The challenges that are presented. Now, there are many other claims we could have dealt with and looked at. But suffice to say what we have said, because what we have said already presents great challenges. Now, they present challenges to free speech and democracy today. You dare speak against them. You dare speak out against them. And you're told to shut up and be silenced. But folks, greater than the challenge to our free society, there's a massive challenge, I believe, to our church life. As I've said, I don't believe it is too big a statement to say that this liberal woke agenda is very subtly, yet very strongly, one of the biggest challenges to the Church of Christ in modern times. And the devil appearing as an angel of light. Because I go back to what I've said, what I've sought to repeat, that their whole theology, their whole ideology, their whole teaching is against the Bible first and foremost. Something which the church, not only here locally, but across the world, has had to face, but sadly, many in the church have embraced. Trying to be like the world, as they say, to win the world. Not realizing the awful danger and challenges that this presents to the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me make this statement, and I stand over this statement, that wokeness in its all-encompassing forms is anti-gospel. It is not a strand or another variant of Christianity. It is entirely opposite to the gospel of Christ. Let me explain why. First of all, this whole idea of racism, it's a man-made idea. There are not many races today. Yes, there are many different skin colors. But there are not many races. There's one race. One race. It's the human race. And the Bible tells me that. We're all of one blood. One race. And so this racist agenda that they're seeking to propound is an attack on the Word of God and seeking to undermine the Word of God by claiming that God made all men differently according to their skin or their cultural background. But the human race, which is a sinful race as we saw in Adam, and it's because of the wickedness and the sinfulness of man that there's this trouble in society today. It's because of the sinful desires of men and women to elevate themselves and to seek to gain for themselves, and in so doing, tramp others down and put others down. But the problem is not grounded in society. The problem is grounded in sin. You see, this movement, it tells society that it has to redeem itself, has to do better. We have to apologize for men like William Wilberforce, men like John Newton, because of their slave trade. And yet they forget that when those men were run to Christ, those men went on to preach the gospel and realized that there's only one way that man can be redeemed. They tell us today we have to repent because of our skin color. I have to repent because I'm white, because I am an oppressor in their eyes, that the Christian church is just an all-white movement. What's that, folks? That's a gospel of works. That's not a gospel of the Bible. That's a gospel of deeds of your own works. Because the gospel of Christ doesn't condemn you or I on the basis of our skin color. It condemns us on the state of our soul. And you see, those who are in the church seeking to adapt and appease this woke movement by combining man's effort to the work of Christ to undo the wrongs of the past are coming up with a gospel that is not of the Bible. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said, "For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, and there's another salvation being preached today, but it's not the salvation of the Bible." You see, this woke movement doesn't lead to Christ. In fact, if you listen to any of it, you'll see that there's no grace in this movement at all. Just condemnation. And as I've said as well, there's no tolerance. You dare take a different view to what they stand for. Well, you're the most intolerant person ever, and you should be silenced and shut up. But let's take this further, because this is where the challenge really comes, particularly by those who seek to embrace it within the church. Because if we have to repent on the basis of our skin color, on the basis of what we have done, what's that doing? It is denying the blood atonement of Christ. It is denying that there is another way that you or I can be redeemed and the wrongs of our past put right. That's the social gospel. A social gospel that has pervaded America, a social gospel that has quickly come into England, and if you watch very carefully, making its way into our province too. A social gospel that says that society can deal with the problems. Social gospel that focuses on social justice but ignores God's justice. And that if we restore everybody and bring all cultures and all classes together in this utopian society, as Karl Marx spoke of and what the woke movement speak of as well, that will be the remedy. That will be the redemption of our world. No. Christ and the blood atonement of Christ on the cross will only be the only way of redemption for this world and for lost sinners. And that is where this movement is really seeking to get at. It hates the cross of Christ. What's behind it? Hell's behind it. What does the devil hate? What does the devil have no answer to? He has no answer to the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he will come up with all sorts of notions and ideas and puts all sorts of notions and ideas. But behind it all is a hell-inspired movement to seek to undermine the gospel of saving grace through the blood of Jesus Christ alone. I made mention there a few moments ago how that this movement would accuse the Church of Jesus Christ today of being just an all-white movement. A few weeks ago, when we spoke on the final census, we used those words in Revelation 7. What does it say? What does it say about the redeemed Church of Christ that will ultimately be glorified? Does it say that they'll come from white-based countries and groups? Does it say that they'll only be from those white-populated countries that the church will be redeemed? No, it says from every nation, from every tongue, from every tribe, from every kindred under heaven. Church of Christ glorified in heaven will be the most diverse church. All from every type of people. But what does verse 7, I think it is, of Revelation go on to say? Revelation 7 go on to say. Who have washed their robes, made them white. That's the one common denominator. It's not skin color. It's not cultural background. It's not about your class. It's about the righteousness of Christ. Christ came not to save skins, but to save souls. I close with this, and I must be brief because time has gone. The claims that are made, there many. The challenges that are presented, and they go right to the very heart of the gospel. But as I close today, I want us to consider then the courage that is required. The courage that is required. Dear believer, today we need to be awake to this woke movement. Oh, its claims may seem virtuous on the surface, but its intentions are evil. It is a denial of the absolute truth of the gospel. Do you remember Judas? Remember Judas when he was with the disciples? And that woman who loved Christ, devoted to Christ, what did she do? She took that costly box of ointment and she broke it and she poured it on the feet of Christ. And Judas, the hypocrite, stands up and says, oh dear, you should have sold that and given the money to the poor. Judas didn't care about the poor. He just was driven by a hatred for Christ. That's what's behind it. It's a hatred of the Christ of the gospel. Wokeness is an attempt to elevate man and tell us the gospel hurts their feelings. Well, the Bible tells us that the gospel is an offense and it is a stumbling block. And can I just mention in passing, we see this now being brought to the fore. Do you know, we've been told over recent weeks and months, we can still preach the gospel, yes, but for how long? How long? Because this conversion therapy bill that has been brought before Stormont is broad, is general. It's interesting it uses the word conversion. It's a Bible word. So I believe it's not about trying to undo, as they say, the supposed injustices in society. It's about trying to deny the gospel of saving grace and converting men and women to Christ. It's a fundamental attack on the whole scheme of redemption. And listen, folks, we need to be awake to that. And we need as a church to take courage, because the battle's on, and I believe the battle's going to get hotter. Paul writing to Timothy, he said that, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Is that not just a summary of our society, in our province, in the 21st century? What does Paul then say? In the light of this, what does he say? He says, but continue thou. Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of. Evil men may wax worse and worse. And the challenges for the gospel and the gospel preaching may get greater. But we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, must continue. And listen, folks, it may mean that times of persecution are a lot closer than we ever thought or imagined. We need to preach the word. Reverend Hannah was speaking on those verses on Thursday night past. We need to preach the word. That's still the command, to be instant in season and out of season. We need to arise. We need to awake. We need to stand up for gospel truth. We need to speak gospel truth. And we need to be like Paul, not be ashamed of the gospel. Because more than ever, this world needs the gospel. This world doesn't need social reformation. This world doesn't need science. This world doesn't need culture. This world still needs Christ. Because only He can save the sinner from sin. It's not about social ideas, it's not about social ideology, it's not about social engineering. It's about the gospel. And that is what is under attack. We need to be awake to it. This whole movement is against the gospel, against the blood atonement of Christ. But may we, like Paul, stand up and despite the opposition, say, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You'll have heard Dr. Paisley often talk about the evangelicals, and there's more emphasis on the jelly. Well, if it was true when Dr. Paisley was preaching those years ago, it's even truer now. The Church of Christ needs to have backbone like never before. Let's stand for Christ, whatever the cost. Let's be true to Him. Let's stand with Him. The call goes out. Who's on the Lord's side? Are you for Christ? Are you for His gospel? Then let's take our stand for Him. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that You be pleased to bless all that has been of Thyself. God, we pray that You'll give us courage in these days to stand. Give us courage, O God, today that while the battle rages around us, that, Lord, we will, Lord, like Shammah of old, stand on that lentil patch and defend it at all costs. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll give us backbone. We pray, Lord, You'll give us strength, having done all. Help us stand. Bless Thy word to our hearts today, we pray. Lord, encourage our hearts. Stir us up. And Lord, use us in these evil and wicked days. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. We're going to close with singing the words of hymn number 548. 548. Because of time, we will only sing the first and the third verses of this hymn. So apologies to the team at the back. We just flicked through verse 2. Verse 1 and verse 3 only of 548. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Verse 1 and keep our seats to sing, please. Father, we pray that you'll give us, Lord, that desire to be counted amongst the redeemed of God. Lord, we pray that we'll take our side with thee and stand up and be counted. Bless thy word to our hearts. Part us now in the fear and with the blessing of Almighty God. Keep your hand upon us. Bless throughout this afternoon. And Lord, bring us all back in safety to the gospel tonight, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.